Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the second Sunday of Lent, 2008. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us, who have put our hope in you.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. A reading from the second letter to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship from the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saves us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome and thank you for joining us this week. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And Dawn, you were absent last week, and then the week before that I was ill, so we haven't done a podcast together in a couple weeks. So
I know.
It's exciting.
You know, before we start, we might need to remind people that I'm in Canandaigua, New York, and Brian, where are you?
I'm in Mundelein, Illinois. I'm at the seminary, University of St. Mary of the Lake, or Mundelein Seminary, as it's also known.
So although we sound like we're in the same place, we're not.
Yeah. We're really about 800 miles away from each other, and that's a good distance
for us. We couldn't cover that every week.
That's right. And anyway, we're here to discuss these readings, obviously. Dawn, did you have any thoughts on any of the readings?
Well, I was thinking one of the lines that struck me in the gospel reading, as Peter's talking, the bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And so I started thinking about bright clouds and things like that. And it reminded me of one time I was flying somewhere, I don't remember, on an airplane. And the sun was sort of setting and it had I looked out the window and we were in the midst of a cloud, and it was so bright that I couldn't even look at it. It was just incredibly bright. And behind me, somebody shut their window shade and went smashing down. And it was just such an analogy. To me, looking at that window, it was God's pure love. Just that's how vibrant it is, and how some people choose to shut it out. And so that struck me today.
Well, it's interesting because, yeah, that's a... One of the images here, actually a lot of these images we have in the gospel are what we call apocalyptic images. And apocalyptic images are images that look forward to the end times, or the end of the world, so to speak. So it's common in a lot of religious literature. It was common in Judaism. And here we have this whole apocalyptic vision here. And so you've got something like the bright cloud. And the cloud has been used in other cases to also symbolize what you were talking about, the presence of God. You mentioned it in terms of God's love in your interpretation. But yeah, it's that, and the brightness as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of times you'll hear people talk about, you know, the brightness of God, or, you know, things like we use white a lot to symbolize God, or gold, you know, things that are really bright. Usually we don't associate something like black, though the priest, I guess, does wear black, but generally, it's not something we associate with God in our culture. It's usually bright colors. And then here, of course, Jesus, too, himself, he's glowing. He's got light coming out from him as he's transfigured. So all of this points to, really, you know, it's an apocalyptic vision. We kind of see Jesus coming in his glory, which, of course, is Christians, we all believe, is going to happen at the end of time. And then we also have an interesting thing, the thing that I always like, is that we have Moses and Elijah there.
Mm-hmm.
Really what that's doing is, for a Jewish audience, they would immediately latch onto that and realize that's Moses represents the law. Moses brought the Ten Commandments. And then Elijah was considered the greatest prophet. And so you have the law and the prophets, which is really the fullness of Judaism. And they're both there together speaking with Christ. So it kind of symbolizes that in the person of Christ, the law and the prophets come together. And that's how we would say as Christians that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, or fulfilled the old covenant with
mm-hmm.
Abraham.
Which we hear about in the first reading today.
That's right. The first reading is the story of, we hear about Abraham, and it's part of the covenant story. One of the things, for those who don't know, God makes a covenant with Abraham, and in it he says, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, your descendants will be as countless as the sands on the sea or the stars in the sky. So basically this is part of the way God comes into the world, is he does it through Abraham, and that's why the Jewish people, we would say, are the chosen people, or God's people.
Brian, you're just a wealth of information.
Actually, it's because I've got a final on the Gospel of Matthew coming up that I'm giving kind of this exegetical, or just kind of looking through it and saying, you know, what can we pick out of, you know, this reading here? Of course, the real question that everybody listening wants to know is, you know, how does this affect me? Or what does this mean for me and for us? And that's really, you know, the real question of Scripture, because it's supposed to move us in some way. And one of the things here that I hear a lot, and I think there's a real good image here when you have Peter and he's talking and he wants to make this tent, and the image, all of a sudden you hear the voice of God come over. It says, while he was still speaking. And what I think that shows sometimes is, a lot of times we like to talk as a way to prevent ourselves from dealing with issues or looking at issues in our life or something like that, or just to make up that uncomfortable silence. We hate uncomfortable silence, so we just talk and it'll say meaningless things or things that don't make a whole lot of sense. And God just comes in and just kind of interrupts that. And I thought about that and said, wow, how often in my own life do I do that? Do I find myself talking or just making myself a busybody, so to speak, and am in need of God to come in and just say, stop and look what you're doing, or appreciate this moment that you're in. Because I find for me that that's something I don't always do. I like to be a person who is a doer, or somebody who's talking, but I don't often really appreciate the present moment that I'm in and being in the presence of God. And here, of course, the disciples are in the presence of God in his full glory here. But the question is, are they appreciating that moment? And for me, that's something that I know I need to work on. I think it can be a challenge for a lot of people.
I think another thing that this gospel reading, how we can apply it to our own lives, is if you've ever been on a retreat or any, you know, strong moment that you've had that you've really felt the presence of God, and you just want to stay there. And I can relate so much to Peter about, oh, let me build some tents and we'll just hang out here and it'll be really cool. But, you know, at the end of the reading, it says they have to go back down the mountain, and that's what we're called to do, too. I mean, God provides us with these moments that we can just sit and be in the presence. But we also have to go back down the mountain and out into the world and live out what we're called to do, strengthened by those moments.
Right. And one of the ways, of course, that we do that is actually... That brings to an interesting point for me when we talk about the Mass. And I was just listening to another podcast, the Busted Halo Cast, friends of myself, at least. They run a pretty good podcast. It's geared towards young adult ministry. And one of the things that they were talking about the other day is, where does the term Mass come from? And Dawn, are you familiar with that? Or do you know that?
At some point I did, but I can't call it to memory right now.
Well, it comes from actually the end of the Mass. In Latin, it's when we say the Mass is ended. The Latin word is for dismissal is missa, and so that's where we get the name Mass from. But it's the dismissal, and when you think about that, really, that shows the importance of the Mass is that dismissal. It's not that it's finally over, but it's that going out now. We've been in the presence of Christ. We've received him into our very own bodies, and now we have to go out and do something with that. And that's what that whole sending forth rite is, and that's where the name of the Mass comes from, is it's about sending, being sent forth and going out. So I think that's something that's important to keep in mind, because, like you said, there's that tendency to want to just sit here and not do anything. But of course, Dawn, we know our listeners aren't just going to sit and do nothing. They're going to go out this week. And then hopefully they'll return next week to our podcast, because we are running out of time to continue this discussion this week. So we hope they'll join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.